We're doing Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, and we're up to the 14th chapter. If you recall, we had seen that the Medrash goes in chronological order from the beginning of time, describing pre-creation, so to speak, God's calculations as to whether to create the world or not, etc. And then through the 7 days of creation. And then we had seen how Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas and fed Adam from the Eitz Hadas. And we ended off the 13th chapter that Adam ate from the fruits, and suddenly his eyes opened up and he recognized that he's naked, and his teeth had this acrid taste. They felt like they had vinegar on them. And he said, "What did I eat that my eyes became like this and my teeth became like this? Generations from now are going to suffer from what I just did." And that's where we ended off last week, 2 weeks ago. Now we'll begin the 14th chapter. What happens after Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, eat from the Eitz Hadas? So God comes down. So now the Midrash begins. There were 10 descents that God descended to earth. Now we know that when God descends, it's not that God is here or there. God is everywhere. But rather that God portrays it to us as though He's coming down. God describes it in terms that we could understand. So there are 10 places where this description is applied, that God came down to earth. Veiluen, and these are they. And now the Medrash will enumerate the 10 and expand on the first, where God went down to Gan Eden. And throughout the rest of the Medrash, we will see how after a few chapters it expands on the second and then on the third. All 10 will be covered at great length, so we won't expand on them here because the Medrash itself will come back to this. It begins by enumerating them here, and then in later chapters we'll expand on each one. So God came down to earth, and 10 times we have this description that God came down. Achat began Eden. One says God came down to the Garden of Eden. And one says God came down to the Tower of Babel to see what the people were doing when they built the tower. Obviously, we discussed a few weeks ago, God didn't have to come down to see what was going on. One, when the Torah describes that God judged the people of Sodom and Amorah, the Sodomites and Amorites. And one, when God appeared to Moshe in the burning bush. And one, when the Torah describes how God appeared to the Jewish people at Sinai. Ushtaim benikat atzul, twice when God appeared in the crevice of the rock to Moshe. Ushtaim bo el moed, and twice we have this description regarding the tent, the oel moed. Achad latid lavo, and one in the future. Achad began Eden. We have one time that God came down in the Garden of Eden, minayin, shneimaz, the verse states, Veishmu ot kol Hashem lokim telech bagan l'ruach hayom. They heard the sound of God, the one who judges, walking through the garden with the wind of the day. Obviously, this is a loose translation. What does it mean they heard God walking? What does it mean the wind of the day? What does it mean that God is described as the God who judges? And we also have the verse in Shir Hashirim, the Song of Songs, that describes, Dodi arad legano, my beloved one, went down to his garden. Yashav lo bedin emet. God, so to speak, sat in true justice, in true judgment. Shofet tzedek ve'emet. God is a righteous and true judge. Kara la'adam ve'amar lo. He called Adam and said to him, Lama barachta mipanai? Why'd you run away? They hear God, they run away. What does it mean they ran away? They don't know that God is everywhere. Where are they running to? Amar lefanav. So Adam said to God, Shimachas shamati. I heard you. Ve'radu atzmotai. And my bones trembled. As the verse states, Adam said to God, I heard you in the garden. Vayran, I was scared. Ki romanochi, for I am naked. Va'echave, and I hid. Va'echave, and I hid. Mi poali, from the one who created me. You created me, and I didn't do what you told me to do. Vayra, I feared. Vayra, I feared. Mi ma'asai, from my actions. Because even if you hadn't created me, when God tells us that doing a certain action is a sin, then that means that that action has a negative effect on the world, regardless of the fact that God commanded it. God created the world in a fashion that the best way to act in this world is according to the Torah. Sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't understand. Most of the times we don't understand. But one of the things we know is that God created guidebook to the world, an owner's manual. God said, I put you down in this world, I'll tell you what's the best way to live. And that's called the Torah. God said, I'm going to tell you what's the best way to live in this world. You won't understand all the reasons why, because you don't begin to understand the way the world works. But bottom line, you want to know what's the best way to live? That's the best way to live. So when a person sins, it's not only that he's going against what God told him. He's also doing things that have a negative effect on the world. So Adam is saying, on the one hand, I hid from my Creator. You created me, you told me to do something, even if it didn't have an impact on the world. The mere fact that you told me to do it, well, I didn't do it, so I hid. I was ashamed. I was scared because of my actions, because I recognized that these actions, regardless of the fact that you commanded me to do them, but I know if you command me not to eat from this fruit, then my eating from it is damaging the world. For I am naked. It doesn't mean I'm naked without clothes, but rather mitzivui. I no longer have a commandment. Now this is a deep topic that's discussed in Kabbalah a lot. It's called namadich chisufa, bread of shame. Meaning, we'll discuss it in simple terms, then we'll apply it to our relationship to God. Let's say two people know one another. Call them Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven always gives Shimon tea. And Shimon gives Reuven nothing. So every day Reuven gives him to eat. He gives him food. So Shimon's going to be embarrassed, because he feels like he's not doing anything to deserve that food. Why is Reuven always giving him food? If Shimon can return the favor, if he can do something in its stead, so Shimon feels better about taking that food. He could actually feel like it's pay. When we have a relationship with our fellow man, so our sages said, better than giving charity, give the guy a job. It's considered a bigger chesed, a bigger act of kindness to give the poor a good job where they can make a living. Why? Because of this concept. He's not going to be embarrassed. He's living a respectable life. He's earning his keep. He's not getting a takeout, a handout. When we relate to God, so if God just gives us, so I have life and I have everything that God gives me, so at some point, if I recognize my Creator, part of what's going to happen is I'm going to be embarrassed. Why am I getting all this? And one of the reasons we're not embarrassed is because we barely connect with the concept that God exists. The level that we connect to that concept is a very, very shallow level. If we'd really connect to it, then all of our behavior would be different. The way we speak, the way we behave, and also the shame that we feel. And God wanted us to attain that level, but God also wanted us not to feel shame. God said, I'm going to give you the mitzvos, where in truth the mitzvos are for your benefit. But they're not only for your benefit because this is the best way to live, but so to speak, you're earning your keep. God's saying, you perform the mitzvos and then enjoy the world. You want to eat food? Make a blessing. Do something holy. Say, God, thank you very much for this food. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Elokeinu, our God, Melech Olam, King of the world. Shakom Yavdvo, everything came to be according to what God said so. Now you take a drink a cup of water. Now you eat a candy. So God says, before you make the blessing, what are you eating my food for? After you made the blessing, enjoy. So God gave us the ability, so to speak, to earn our keep, that we shouldn't have to be embarrassed for everything we get in this world. Adam HaRishon had one commandment. God told him, eat from all the other fruits and don't eat from this fruit. So there was a positive and negative commandment. Positive commandment, eat from the others, which by inference means don't eat from this. And then God explicitly said, do not eat from this fruit. So he had two commandments, asay and losay, say that were really focused on the same point. Not to eat from that fruit. Now he ate from the fruit. Now he's embarrassed. Now he feels naked. He no longer has any connection to God. What's our connection to God? We say the mitzvot could be understood as commandments, but they could also be understood from the word tzavta. Tzavta is friendship, companionship. God says, you want to come close to me? The mitzvot will help you come close to me. What blessing do we make before we perform a mitzvah? We say, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotan. One understanding is God gave us holiness through the mitzvos. You want to be a holy person? Perform mitzvos. The mitzvos have an effect on us. They make us into holier people. But there's another understanding. Asher kiddushanu God engaged us. The word kiddushin is engagement. Just like a man who wants to marry a girl, there are two stages. In halacha, there's the engagement and then the marriage. Engagement in halacha has a lot more weight than it does colloquially. When we say engaged, we don't mean as much as the halacha means when the halacha says engaged. I mean, there are far more obligations halachically when we say kiddushin. But for lack of a better term, we'll translate it as engaged. So we say God, so to speak, engaged the Jewish people. He did the first half of marriage with the Jewish people through the mitzvot. That's our connection with God. Adam Rishon had that connection, and he lost it. He didn't keep up that commandment. God said, don't eat from that fruit, and he did. So Adam Rishon said, I am naked from this commandment. Shneimaz, the verse states, Ki erom anochi, I am naked. Me haya levusho shel Adam Rishon. What was Adam Rishon wearing? What does it mean, I'm naked? How do you recognize you're naked if you're not wearing anything? So what was Adam Rishon wearing? Or shet ziporin. God created the first man, Adam Rishon, with a layer of skin, and above that layer of skin was a layer of nail. Just like you have nails at the end of your finger, he had nails that covered his whole body. He had another layer. That was, so to speak, his clothing. Vanan kavod mechuse alav. And he had a cloud of honor, so to speak, covering him. Kevan she'achal mipirot ha'ilan, once he ate from the fruits of that tree, nifshat or tziporen me'alav, this layer of nail came off of him, v'ra'a atzmo arom, and he saw himself naked, v'nistalek anan ha'kavod me'alav, and that cloud of honor also left him. Shneimar, as the verse states, mi'igid lecha ki erom ata, ha'mina'etz asher tziviticha. Who told you you are naked? Is it that you ate from the tree that I commanded you not to? Amar Adam nifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man said before God, Ribon kol olamim, master of all of the worlds, kshayiti levadi, when I was alone, without this woman, shema chatati lacha, did I sin? When I was alone, I kept your commandment. Ela, but rather, ha'isha she'eveta etzli, the woman that you brought to be with me all the time. You gave me this nag. He gave me a woman. She's with me all the time. And you know what? He dicha oti midvarecha. She convinced me, she persuaded me to leave what you said. Notice the term Adam Rishon uses. It says, he dicha. We have the concept in halacha, mesitu mediach. Mediach is a person that persuades other people to leave the faith. To leave the faith. To stop believing in God. So Adam Rishon says, she did that to me. The Medrash has many opinions as to how Chava got Adam to sin. One opinion says she nagged, she wailed, she cried, and finally he gave in and he ate from it. Another opinion says that she spoke to him calmly, sweetly, and seduced him to eat from the fruit. There are other opinions, but at any rate we see she did it verbally. She didn't pick up a stick and say, I'll hit you if you don't eat from the fruit.
I thought she gave him the fruit and he didn't know what it was.
Oh, so we noticed previous weeks that the Medrash seemed to represent it until now, that she gave him to eat from the fruit, and after he ate from it he said, hey, what'd you give me? The Medrash seemed to represent it that way. But the fact that the Medrash uses this word that says that she persuaded me to leave your commandment seems to indicate differently.
What's happening in the very bottom?
What?
Similar to the snake.
Right? So, in a minute we'll get to that. Shneimar, as the verse states, Haisha shanatata imadi, the woman that you gave with me, meaning Adam was saying, she's always at my side. So, if a woman's always with you, so she keeps talking to you, and keeps telling you, and keeps telling you, finally, that's it, I couldn't stand it anymore. You gave her to be with me all the time. So, at some point, I broke down. It's interesting that historically you see a lot of folklore revolving around this. The woman nags and finally she gets her way. You see it here, you see it with Shimshon, Samson and Delilah. And if you see the non-Jewish folklore, you also see this recurring theme. That a woman keeps at it, finally the husband doesn't have the strength to stand up against her. So Adam was saying the fact that she's with me all the time, this is what she did to me. She gave me from the tree and I ate. Now, Adam here sinned. Meaning, not only did he sin by eating from the fruit, he also sinned by saying to God a complaint about a favor that God did him. God did an act of kindness. God gave Adam a companion for life. And Adam's looking at that companion and saying, she did it to me. If not for her, if not for the fact that you put her here, I would have been okay. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leChava, God turned to Chava, to Eve, and he said to her, Lo dayech shechatat, not enough that you yourself sinned, Ela shechtet et Adam, you caused him to sin. It's not enough that you sinned, you caused him to sin as well. Chava's sin was double. And in essence, her punishment was double as well. Her sin was double because first she ate, and then she gave him to eat and ate with him a second time. Her punishment was double because almost all, if not all, of the curses that Adam got apply to Chava, meaning the curse that he'll die and the difficulty of making Parnasa, that all applies to her at the end of the day. And yet her curses don't apply to him. He doesn't have a problem as we'll see, her curses. All her curses we'll see in a second. Amra lefanav, so Chava said to God, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World, Hanachash hesiach et da'ati lachto lefanecha. The Nachash confused me, he got me to sin before you. And this, in some way, is answering both claims. God had two claims against her. You ate, and you fed him. And she's saying, yeah, he confused me. He got me off guard, and he got me all confused, and I ended up eating, and I ended up feeding him. Shneimar Hanachash hishiani va'ochel, as the verse states, the Nachash persuaded me or confused me and got me to eat. Ve'evi shloshtan, God stood all three together, ve'gazal alehem gzal din, and decreed upon them mitesha klalot, 9 curses v'mavet, and ultimately death. Every one of them got 9 curses and death, and they all had to be standing together because each one, some element of his curse is relevant to the others. Ve'epil et Samael ve'et hakat shelo mimkom kedushatan min hashamayim. If you recall, the angel Samael had a special place in heaven. He had a position of leadership. If you recall, he was riding on the Nachash on his head. You remember? He was the one that's riding on the Nachash, and it says that God knocked him down. Ve'katatz raglav shel Nachash, he cut off the feet from the snake. Ve'erirom mikol hachayah, and cursed him from all wild animals, umikol habeima, and from all domesticated animals. Ufakad alav, God commanded on the snake, sheyem afshit et oro pam achat l'sheva shanim v'itzavon gadol, that he'll lose his skin, he'll remove his skin once in 7 years with great pain. Later on, Pirkei Rav Lezer will describe that there are certain pains that cause a person to let out a yell that crosses throughout the world. And one of those afflictions is the Nachash, when he loses his skin. Another one is a woman giving birth. So the Nachash was cursed that once in 7 years he has to shed his skin. And that, the Medrash says, hurts him a lot. V'he sochef b'me'av al ha'aretz, he has to slither on his stomach on the ground. U'ma'achalo mitapech b'me'av le'afar, and what he eats turns to dust in his intestines. Umrorat petanim umavet befiu, and in his mouth he has the bitterness of the poisonous snakes, and he has death in his mouth. The snake always has the venom of death. Well, not every snake, but venatan sina benol venaisha, and God placed hatred between the snake and the woman. Remember, the Nachash had wanted to marry her. He had wanted Adam to die and to take her for himself. So he got the exact opposite. Now there's great hatred between the woman and the snake. And mankind try to bash his head. And on top of all of these, after all of these, God decreed that the snake would die ultimately. He doesn't live an eternal life. It seems like had he not sinned, the snake would have lived an eternal life. God gave the woman 9 curses and death. Inui dam nidata, the pain of the blood when a woman has her period. The dam betula, and the blood when she loses her virginity. Veinui erayon abeten, and the affliction of pregnancies. Women have stomach aches, they vomit. Veinui leida, the affliction of actually giving birth, childbirth. V'inu gidul banim, the pain of bringing up kids. She's the one that gets the major pain. B'rosha mechuse kavel. And God made it that a woman ordinarily goes with her head covered, and she's uncomfortable walking out of the house without a head covering, like a person who's in mourning that covers his head. So it doesn't mean that when a woman covers her head, she should feel like she's in mourning. But at the end of the day, the fact that women have to cover their hair and men don't, that's considered one of the curses that the woman got. Venam galach toto ela miznut. Seems like they must have had some kind of custom that if a woman was caught disfaithful to her husband, she'd shave her head. I don't know of any other source for this, but that's what seems to be from here. V'ratzat ozna ke'evet olam uchshivcha shim sharetet et ba'aleh. And God had her pierce her ears, just as slaves in ancient times used to pierce their ears, because she, to an extent, is subservient to her husband. Now, ve'inan eminet ve'idut, and she lost her trustworthiness in testimony. Seems like before Adam and Chava sinned, the godly plan was that woman would be equal to man. She'd be equally believed. She wouldn't have to cover her hair. She wouldn't have to be so. She wouldn't have any different status in the house than the man. And she might have a different job in life than the man. She's supposed to be his helper, but more like a partner. And after this, we see that her role changes. She's the one bringing up the children. She's the one going through 9 months of pregnancy. It seems like before this, she didn't. Now, we discussed that the whole story of Gan Eden, it is unclear whether it ever happened, whether the Torah is telling us the story actually happened, or the Torah is telling us the story as some kind of prophecy, some kind of mashal, an allegory. The world began with one man. The world began with creation in 6 days. But the whole story of what happened with a speaking snake and Adam and Chava, so we brought the Malbim that says that's all a mashal.
But he's in marginal. He's one opinion.
He's one opinion. Part of what we see is that our sages are telling us that there's certain inequality in the world. And certain pains that are built into the running of the world. And the Midrash seems to say that God built these into the world. You could say it as a punishment for something that happened then, but you could also understand it to an extent that when the Torah portrays the sin of man in a certain way and the sin of the woman in a certain way and the sin of the snake in a certain way, the Torah is telling us the tendencies of the different beings in the world. Man has a certain tendency. Woman has a certain tendency. And God created them this way with the challenge to fix them. And one of the things that God created in the world that are to help them fix them are what we'd call these curses. You guys with me? So then why isn't anyone asking me how do these curses help them fix this? Because you all understand so well. Okay. I'm just wondering. I'm speaking and no one's asking. So, okay.
Questions.
And on top of these 9 curses, death. It's interesting. I wouldn't tell your wives that the custom of women wearing earrings goes back to the date when people, slaves used to wear earrings. It was a sign of subservience. I'd leave that between us.
So,
yeah.
Just put it on context. Because sometimes I've heard midrashim and either get very confusing and or scandalized, or it seem to be conflicting elements. You've heard some or something in this midrash is a completely different thing. How far should, it's a general question, how far should we use our rationale to explain midrashim that don't fit with our logic?
Let's leave that for a question and answer, okay? David, yeah?
Yes, you said that men, they used to shave their heads. Some just shave their heads. They were faithful, you said?
That's what it seems to say here, yeah.
How come these days there's a Hasidic movement where women shave their heads?
Let's leave that for question and answer. No, it's a fair question. Zad Hashem, we'll get to that, okay? Hotzil Adam, God took man out, the Gazal of Tisha Klalot Vamavet, God decreed upon man 9 curses and death. Kitzokochob Tumat Keri, God made it that man, whenever he emits sperm, that weakens his strength. Kitzel komato betumat tashmish amita. God made man shorter, so to speak. He put him down with the fact that when man is with his wife, that also brings him down. Zorei chitim mekotzer kotzim.
These are the curses that men got.
Men got, yeah.
So the first one was they got weak when they missed sperm.
Right.
That's why you're not supposed to have sex before boxing.
Keep in mind, he plants wheat and he ends up having to harvest thorns. The ground gives thorns, not only the food that he plants. We have weeds, we have thorns. Machalo esev haaretz kabeima. He has to eat vegetables, things that grow from the ground like animals. What was he eating beforehand? I don't know. V'lachmo bidaga. His meals come after worry. He has to worry about how he's going to get his sustenance. Umzono bizea. And his food comes after sweat and toil. V'achar kol eile on top of all of these hamavet. Man got cursed with death. Im adam chata, eretz machata shenitarera. When God cursed man, he cursed the ground as well, that the ground now is going to give off thorns and stuff like that. So what did the ground do to deserve to be cursed? Ela shelo igida maase. The ground, so to speak, covered up for man. Didn't reveal what had happened. Lefichach nitarara, that's why it was cursed. What does this mean? I don't know. I don't know what it means the ground covered up. I don't know what it means that the ground cares if it gives off thorns or anything else. What kind of curse is that? I don't know. The Torah describes it as a curse. The ground was cursed. But I don't know. Shebsha shebne adam chotin ma'averot chamurot. When man sins heavy sins, God sends a plague, people die. When people sin light sins, God made it that the fruits of the ground get hit because of our sins. As the verse states, the ground will be cursed because of you. And in order to end on a positive note, sages should always try to end on a positive note. So there are many that point out that all these curses we've seen in the last 100 years, that slowly but surely they're falling by the wayside. Pregnancy is becoming easier, childbirth is becoming easier today. They have an epidural. They have, I'm not saying it's a picnic, but things are getting easier. Our work, we don't spend the time sitting dealing with thorns in the field. We don't sweat as much. Parnassa is easier nowadays. It's much easier to make a living. We see that a lot of these curses are falling by the wayside. We don't spend our time beating up snakes. We're not worried about them. We don't kill snakes at random. We take care of them. Sometimes we have to kill them, but it's not like it used to be. So all of these curses we've seen in the last 100 years, that slowly they've fallen by the wayside. And some want to say that this is because we're coming closer and closer to the times of the Mashiach. That's what some want to say. So...